company.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to American Conservative Party Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
And we're here to discuss war. No, we're not.
Oh, yeah.
We're here to discuss. Yes, we are.
Yeah, we
because
are.
Because the White House has declared war.
Yes, they have. Not on whom you might think, but they have declared war.
And they are about as stupid as you would expect.
Yes, they would.
Never take on somebody that buys ink by a barrelful, and certainly never take on somebody that doesn't have to buy the ink at all.
That's right. Boy, you just got to wonder how much smarts there are there.
I'm telling you, this is Peter Principle written all over it.
Yeah.
There has got to be no way in the world, okay? There's just no. I've probably read four or five stories over the last four or five posts from totally different people that think this idea of going after Fox News is such an incredibly bad idea. It's not just the right that thinks it's a bad idea. People on the left are going, why?
I mean, Helen Thomas said, hey, folks, you better rethink this.
It's dumb. It's just
dumb. Oh, yeah.
Dumb. And the thing that I'm reading is everybody's going, okay, they can't be this stupid, right? They can't be this stupid. It's not even a matter of, you know, making a boneheaded decision. This had to be, this is thought out. This is considered. This is.
Oh, yeah.
This is stupid.
And I heard today, this is Rahm Emanuel's idea.
Okay. Well, all right. Then I know what we have to do. And we're going to have to spread this around.
Okay.
We really have to spread this around. Okay? We have, you know, Rahm Emanuel's button seems to be, you just can't call him an idiot.
True.
Okay. He doesn't seem to respond to being called an idiot. But I think he might respond really negatively to laughter.
We certainly know Obama does.
Right. I think if we get to the point where what we simply do is we simply just, it's not even a matter of making fun. Yeah, I think we need to make fun of him. I think we need to pick on things that we know are simply juvenile.
Yeah.
I want to start calling him, because there's simply no other way to explain the fact of what's going on, Dumbo.
Oh, there's a good one. Yeah. I was thinking kind of along the lines of seventh grader, but, that's okay. That's fine. Dumbo's good.
Yeah, because, there's just no way he can be this stupid. There's no way this entire administration, with all of the brain cells that are supposedly, primed in all of the upper echelons of the Democratic and liberal wings, there's just no way they can be this stupid.
You wouldn't think.
If they are, this is the thing that I don't get. No, there's lots of things I don't get. Okay, the current debt is $400,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's pile on a bunch
more. I don't know about you. I know about you.
Yeah.
I know about you and me. neither you nor I, in the rest of our lifetime,
yeah, has $400,000.
$400,000 in taxes.
Yep.
To the government.
That's right.
Now CJ might be doing it, but she's going to have to carry mine and Victoria's load. So that means she's going to have to come up with $1.2 million worth of taxes the rest of her lifetime, provided, and this is a huge, huge provided. One, we don't add another dollar worth of debt.
Right.
And two, she pays that in addition to the taxes that have to be paid to pay for the things that we're not increasing at all.
Yep. Assuming that she can get a job.
You know, I'm going to ask Bill Gates if he'll take mine.
Yeah, there you go. You betcha. Yeah, or George.
If I get my name in first,
maybe.
Yeah, if I get my name in first, maybe he'll take pity. He'll get CJ off the hook. But you know, your kids are screwed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
If I get Gates, you guys are screwed.
Yeah, I know. And I got a brand new grandbaby.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Boy,
Liam Rutherford.
Liam.
Such Liam. I'm cool name. I like it.
You know, that's what my mother calls my father.
Is that right?
Well,
Liam?
Because it's short for William.
Well, it is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he's William, and he's Liam, and he's... My mother is the only one that calls him Liam.
Uh-huh. Only one who can get away with it, right?
No, my father thinks it's a perfectly fine thing. Well, you know, my sister called him that once, and if you ever want to see a 5'5", 140-pound Irishman,
yeah,
literally look like Krakatoa.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Shit. Man, I turned and ran.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
turned,
yeah.
And I was 50 years old and outweighed my father by 3 times. I went,
yep.
Oh, shit, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, my sister turned and said, you know, Lehman Dorcas, if that's the way you want to, and my parents just went, what?
Huh? Yeah, what? Right. There was this, yeah, this indrawn breath, and it's like, oops, I'm gone. Yes, indeed.
He's the one that's been disowned anyways. Let's go back to, you know, Barack Obama. He can't.
Yeah, yeah.
It appears that they're this stupid. It really appears that they're this stupid. And, you know, I was worried about the fact that they could do some significant damage to the country. But with this level of stupidity, I'm thinking I don't have to worry quite as bad.
Actually, they aren't the ones who can do the damage. The ones who can do the damage is Reid and Pelosi.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah.
You know, Reid, in order to do this, has to, you know, there's, my father taught us kids that because of his size,
mm-hmm,
and the fact that he drank,
mm-hmm,
and he went out to bars and he was Irish,
mm-hmm,
my father had a rule. You know, you can pick on people bigger than you. Just make sure that the first time you hit them is the only time you need to make sure they don't come back up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Reid is doing things right now that he has to all but ensure that Democrats never lose control of the Senate.
Well, he's got a problem there. I mean, right now, he is down by, what, 12 points or so against Danny Tarkanian in Nevada.
I don't care
for
about him. I don't care about him personally.
Right.
He cannot afford the Democrats ever losing control of the Senate again if he continues on the path that he's going on.
Right. Yeah.
Because he is doing scorched earth, and you and I agree on this. If we are able to get rid of the rhinos out of the Senate,
mm-hmm,
and put serious conservatives in there,
mm-hmm,
and the GOP gets 54 or 55 seats in there, and 45, 48 of them are solid conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
Then the Democrats are forever screwed, because as far as I'm concerned, the conservatives will have to, you know, fix this mess by shoving it down the Democrats' throat.
Yep. And given what's going on right now in the Senate, I think that's probably a possibility.
And
they will take all kinds
of
crap about it, but nevertheless.
You know, I'm not a big TV watcher anymore because I simply just don't have the time.
Right.
However, you all know that I'm a very big fan of Hulu. And
yes.
all of the shows that I want to see are now, I have an account with Hulu, and I'm subscribed to the shows that I want to see, and when I have time, I can watch, you know, the shows that I want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It is, realistically speaking, my DVR.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So I can watch the shows that I want to watch. Now, one of the shows that I'm watching is called Sanctuary. And the main star is Amanda Tapping, who was a primary character in the Stargate series.
Ah, okay.
And if you know her, you know her. If you don't, you don't. In any case...
Well, I don't know her, but I recognize Stargate.
Stargate. In this, there are two groups. Mainly, they're a very horrible, nightmarish corporate entity called the Cabal that's trying to take over the world, of course.
Oh, boy.
But what is up against them is a group of humans called the Abnormals. And the Abnormals are... Have you seen the movies Men in Black?
Yes.
Okay. You know how they kind of had the side joke where all the really weird celebrities out in the world were, in fact, aliens?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in Sanctuary, some of the more interesting characters in our history were, in fact, Abnormals, which
uh-huh.
probably doesn't sound too odd to you, but on the good side, she is an Abnormal. She's practically immortal, but her husband for a period of time was Jack the Ripper, and her number two person that she relies on a lot is Nikola Tesla. That can be all kinds of rather interesting things.
Yeah, right.
The bad guys have gotten the upper hand, and they're about to make a big move against what is called the Sanctuary, which is places where the Abnormals can be protected from natural society.
Uh-huh, okay.
One of the Abnormals, one of their very, very, very close friends, is suffering from a virus that was specifically designed to attack Abnormals.
Uh-huh.
And he refuses to take the cure, and there is a cure, because it was developed at the expense of the life of some Abnormals.
Hmm.
So he refused to take the cure.
Okay.
And he's slowly dying because of it. They're about to get attacked, and he's a primary part of their defense, and of course he's out because he won't do this.
Mm-hmm.
The Amanda Tapping character takes the... lets him continue this course of, you know, killing himself, and understands his adherence to principles.
Mm-hmm.
And right before the final big attack, they know it's coming. It's only a couple days away.
Right.
She goes to see him for the first time in like a month. And she sits there and talks to him about this idea that she really understands, unlike most other people, you know, she really understands his commitment to principles.
Okay.
And that she fully supports his commitment to principles.
Okay.
Because, in fact, she is similarly principled. But she said, we're about to fight for our life. And our principles mean nothing if we're dead. So she lays the syringe next to his head. And she goes, I fully support you in your position. Never doubt that. But I'm not going to come back and see you again. I have a fight to go, and I refuse to lose that fight because I refuse to compromise on my principles.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Yep, okay.
And in her particular case, they have taken her daughter, who is the offspring of her and Jack Ripper, to abnormal.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
And they converted her into a weapon.
Uh-huh.
Being turned at her. And she refuses to kill her daughter, refused to kill her daughter, even though she's a dangerous weapon. And she has decided that she's already had two instances where she refused to do it, and the daughter created a great deal of havoc, and she said it won't happen again. She's going
mm-hmm.
after her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's given Tesla what he needs to create a weapon that will absolutely not kill her, or absolutely will kill her if it's used against her.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about that. And I have said to people over the last year and a half that it is important that we do not compromise on our principles.
That's true.
That we hold true as far as the position is concerned. However, those of you that have paid attention to me, I've said this on a rare occasion. I understand completely that in the political process, compromise is necessary in order
yeah.
to govern.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not a matter of compromising principles. It's a matter of starting with principles and coming to a position that we can live with.
Yes.
Okay. Here's my problem. The Democrats are not interested in pragmatism or compromise.
No, they aren't.
They simply
at least
want
not
us,
this current set.
This current set. They simply want us to shut up or die.
Yep. Or preferably both.
And I'm deciding two things. One, my principles are worth a hell of a lot more than my politics. However, my politics are not my life.
No.
So I'm willing to compromise in my politics, but not in my life.
Exactly.
So as far as I'm concerned at this particular point in time, Dumbo gets no more compromise.
None.
I'm simply not interested in dealing with it. Because we have been told, conservatives, especially us national security conservatives, us strong defense conservatives,
yep.
We've been told that we are too unilateralist.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Barack Obama's walking around being unilateralist all over the place.
Exactly.
Of course, everybody's kind of going, gee, thanks. Gee, thanks.
Yeah,
gee,
right.
Thanks.
Yeah, right.
And he's going like, don't you want to do anything for us? Nope.
Yeah, not so much.
The thing with Russia.
Oh,
you know,
man.
when he stopped the missile shield in Eastern Europe, and everybody goes, well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. We may not know what it is, but they had to get something for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
appears that, in fact, the answer was no. They got nothing for it.
And that is not the only example. The most current example is Iran. The U.S. thought that they had a deal that they would allow the enrichment of uranium
to take place outside of Iran
for nuclear power purposes, and that they would use Iran's enriched uranium. Russia and China, Russia would further refine it. France would build that into plates for nuclear reactors because they're running short of fuel for their experimental reactor in Tehran. And the U.S. believed that they had a deal to do that. And Iran is now saying, well, yeah, we'll do that, but you have to supply us with the enriched uranium because we aren't going to give up our enriched uranium. Hello.
It is. I said this a while back, and please forgive me. I understand the metaphor is not really an appropriate one, but you know, Hillary Clinton has been neutered.
Oh yeah. I'm surprised she's still there, frankly.
You know, from the reset button to being sent to Africa to being
yep.
kept out of the Middle East to this little, you
yep.
know, set of stupidity plus what's going on in North Korea, she has just gone from one stupidity to the next. I can't imagine anybody on the world stage right now that takes her or Obama seriously at all.
Well, and here's the danger in that. If your Secretary of State is not taken seriously, then your country is not taken seriously. And if that is true, then we have a really big problem in terms of dealing with everything that is on our plate, all the way from Russia and its apparent desire to extend its influence in its former incarnation of an Eastern Europe bloc. Nations that I might remind everybody are now independent of Russia. For the moment, through Turkey, a member of NATO, who is rapidly becoming a Muslim state, through the enrichment of uranium for Chavez. I mean, think about that for a second, folks. Here is a South American country, totally socialist, totally inimical to the interests of the United States of America, who is thinking about becoming the next nuclear power. And then you couple that with our approach to Iran and our absolute uninterest in the Iranian uprising, of our putting down of the Honduran, totally permissible under their constitution, of getting rid of Zelaya, and you have to start wondering, is this stupidity, or is this a part of a larger pattern?
Okay. Dumbo.
Yeah, well.
I can't. There's just no. In every act, he is doing the exact things necessary to damage us.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, from his Cairo speech to his Berlin speech, and incidentally, do you know that he is not going to be in Germany for the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall? I mean,
yeah, I heard.
Give
He's
me
busy.
A break, folks.
Busy.
Busy. Oh, I've got a real enemy here at home. I've got to attack Fox. I can't possibly go over to Germany. Good gracious me.
Well, because he can't say anything bad.
That's right.
Well, that's the problem, is he can't say anything bad in that position. He has to say something good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, let's consider some of the things. Well, let's go on this idea. What I wanted to get into tonight was, you know, what is our response? Okay.
As conservatives.
As conservatives. What is our response to this situation? you know, Fox News can defend itself. There's nothing we have to do about that.
No, we don't have to do anything about that.
We don't have to do anything about that. Fox is going to be able to take care of itself. The news groups can take care of itself. You know, when they've got Helen Thomas on their side, you know, I can't lose.
Exactly. If I've lost Helen Thomas, I've lost America. Paraphrasing LBJ there.
Yeah, you do have to wonder about that. All right, so we don't have to worry about that. There's nothing we can do about what the damage he's doing in the diplomatic channels that are not in the overt sense, the big deals. I mean, he has so insulted the Brits that at this particular point in time, I don't think he could go to Britain and ask them to give him the time of day at this point.
Yeah, or even the day of the week. Jeez.
So, you know, though, but I'm convinced that those type of situations are not something that's going to persist for a long period of time. They're just going to buy their time and wait until the administration changes.
Yeah.
Whether that's 4 years from now or 8 years from now, they'll know that he's gone, and you know, they'll assume that something more amenable to the relationship will exist.
Yep.
And so they'll be fine. So I'm not even worried about that particular problem.
Nope.
I am somewhat concerned about this particular idea that the GOP has decided that, and I'm not talking about just the leadership of the Republican Party. I'm talking about people that are quote, you know, senior statesmen in the GOP.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm talking about Newt.
And it's interesting to me that I, along with others on Twitter who happen to follow Newt, have queried him as to what in the world are you thinking of in endorsing Didi in the New York 23rd District House of Representative Rice. The thing that is interesting to me is he has not responded to any of that.
You got to understand, you know, and most of the people that listen to this show know, my position as far as abortion and gay rights are concerned.
Yep.
So on that particular point, from that particular point of view, you know, a candidate that has positions that are consistent with mine and yet complains to be conservative, I would have less problem. The problem is she doesn't hold those positions because they're principled. She holds those positions because they're political.
Yes.
And she holds similar positions towards card check and taxes and Obamacare that are, of course, also political and certainly not conservative.
Exactly.
So the GOP and elder statesmen such as Newt continue to this day, right now, after everything that has gone on, to still believe, and they are correct, that the vast majority of Republicans are not going to leave them and go to the Democrats because they have given them a shit sandwich. They are not going to go to a third party because a third party is not viable. They're going to believe that they will continue to be as they are because Republicans and conservatives have no choice.
You know what? I think that they have made a serious miscalculation in that. And while everything that you said is true, what you didn't mention is significant. And what you didn't mention is, no, I'm not going to go vote for a Democrat. I'm not going to go vote for some liberal. But generically, I just might not vote. Now, that isn't true in my case, because my pride, other than one time, is that I have voted in every election that I have been eligible to vote in, except for once.
I voted in November.
Yeah.
I just didn't vote for president.
Exactly. There's a whole bunch of people that didn't do that.
Yeah. You know, I didn't vote for Obama. I just didn't vote for McCain, too. And there's going to be a lot of people who do that. And, of course, people – and I had this conversation with somebody who is conservative and not Internet-connected and just doesn't understand that they were lost. I mean, they think mm-hmm. that they're here in Madison, Wisconsin. They're lost in a sea mm-hmm. of liberals and progressives. They just don't understand. She just doesn't understand. And I sat here and I said, look, okay, you cannot continue to vote for liberals, you know, in sheep's clothing, or in this case, rhino clothing.
Exactly.
You can't. You have
no.
to do something different.
Yep.
You can't keep voting the same way and keep expecting different things to happen when you're given exactly the same choices every single time.
Yeah.
You have to change. You have to change. They're not going to change. You have to change.
Yes.
We have to change.
Absolutely.
And I have done that. And I decided last year, despite so many people's arguments against me, and many other like me, decided that, you know, we were going to tolerate the damage that Barack Obama caused because the GOP needs to wake up. Well, it appears that the GOP has no intention of waking up.
It appears that way.
Okay.
I mean, here's the two examples that stand out in my mind. Newt Gingrich and the, I don't think it's the NRC, I think it is the National Republican Congressional Council, NRCC, have endorsed and support and to the tune of six figures, have donated to Didi Fazafava. This is a candidate in New York 23 that supports card check, supports health care, Obama health care, supports increasing taxes, supports abortion on demand. I'm, you know, folks, I'm sorry, that just doesn't make it. The second one that I have is that the National Republican Senatorial Committee, the NRSC, has endorsed Governor Crist of Florida over Marco Rubio. Now, full disclosure, I have donated to Marco Rubio.
Me too.
And I'm telling you, there's a conservative. The GOP in the NRSC has said, no, no, we want this guy over here. And I'm saying, you folks are so out of touch that you couldn't find anything from anything else. I'm trying to keep it clean here.
Oh, don't bother. We got no SEC here. I haven't stopped.
Well, yeah, I know, but, you know, Thursday they're going to do the whole FCC thing about net neutrality, and so I'm trying to be a little careful. It's kind of like, how many times do they have to crap on your head before you say, you know, I don't think I like that much. And quit doing that, and quit. Just stop. Just don't do that anymore. Let the state of Florida, let the state of New York, let the state of California decide their own damn candidates. I'm tired of it. I sent off a note today to the National Republican Council, Michael Steele, and said, not one damn dime until you stop endorsing liberals. No more. Nothing. Exit. I'm done.
Well, here's what I have to say. And my fellow ACP people, please understand, I am yet only still considering this position. I'm thinking of joining the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Because somebody asked, what the hell would it take to take over the GOP?
Hmm. Interesting question.
Yeah. Napoleon's tried to do it, but you know they're idiots.
Yeah, they are. With my apologies to those folks who really like Napoleons, nevertheless,
no apologies on my part.
And you know, I will apologize only because Ron Paul has a grasp of the Constitution. The problem is he interprets those parts of the Constitution that supports his position, which is Fortress America. And folks, this is a global thing. This is
Fortress America worked really great when it was 3 months from England to the United States.
Exactly. That worked.
And you had 5 hours from the time you saw the boat to the time it could get to shore.
Exactly.
That's really fine. Now,
yep.
Great Britain is 48 minutes away.
Yeah, exactly.
And about the only thing you're going to see before it comes is you won't see anything. You'll just hear a...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So. All right. Somebody said something, and I need to prove it's wrong.
Uh-oh. You're looking at Twitter, huh?
Okay. Yep, I said it. I called somebody an asshole.
Oops.
You know me, I don't actually do that on Twitter.
No, I know.
Wait.
Now I'm going to have to go look at my computer. I'm outside. With my dog barking.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no. All right, I won't answer that till after because it's not worth it. All right.
Okay.
I actually was saying it to a conservative. Somebody, ostensibly a conservative. I called somebody a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that ostensibly was a conservative, I called them asshole. And now a liberal is saying that I called them asshole. Okay. Speaking about cleaning it all up. The reason I had this it's an interesting point. It is, in the big scheme of things, I'm going to start paying attention to some things that are going on here locally. Even though I'm leaving, there's no reason why I have to actually stop doing things right this very second. Here's the deal. The Republican Party in Madison, Wisconsin, in Dane County, Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin as a whole, for the most part, is a rhino skeleton. In Dane County, they're just idiots. Okay? I've had my run-ins with them. You know, what they do is they find the most radically right, you know, social conservatives that they can find, and they put them up against, in this district, you know, the only openly lesbian, you know, women in Congress.
Okay.
You know, given the juxtaposition of those two characters and the fact that there's 35,000 students here that can vote, you know, he doesn't have a chance in hell.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had somebody that was actually less socially conservative, still conservative, solid conservative, not socially conservative, and you had them running against, you know, the liberal, you would have a much closer race. I don't think they could win, but they would have a much closer race. And it would give the Republican Party here some credence. Right now, not even Republicans give it any credence.
Wow.
They don't take it seriously.
Wow.
Okay? So, it's small. It's not that big. So, it might be susceptible to it. To an incursion of 15 or 20 souls. Might have a significant impact on it.
Huh.
I want to consider it. I want to look into the idea.
Yeah.
Not that I'm at all interested in disavowing the American Conservative Party. That's not my intention at all.
Nope.
But I do want to look into that. Otherwise, I might be interested in co-opting the GOP here.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I have to tell you, the things that I see on Twitter, and that's really the social media that I've connected with, there are a lot of people that are right on the cusp. They could go a third party, or they could energetically support a takeover of the GOP from the current leadership, which tends to be old boy clubbish, that tends to be go along to get along, that tends to be let's kind of hang back and wait and see. I'm telling you that every time that I have seen an actual conservative run, and I will freely admit, no, I don't pay a lot of attention to Northeast politics. But when I see actual conservatives run in other places, they win.
Right.
And the reason that they win is Americans, by and large, are naturally conservative. They don't want government poking their nose into their business. They don't want government to be able to take over a larger and larger portion of their paycheck. They really don't like the idea of big government. And that is what the liberal progressives are all about. They are about big government. They are about the government is going to control what you do, what you say. And most folks aren't in that program.
And that's kind of why I wanted to know if you took that Pew Research quiz yesterday. This was the question about it was 12 questions on current events. Name the senator that's leading the finance committee's deliberations on the health care bill.
Baucus.
Okay. Questions were similar to that. Who controls Congress? Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, Democrats.
Okay. Now, of the 12 questions, and I did them in less than just probably somewhere between a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
All it took me to answer.
Mm-hmm.
I got all 12 questions right.
Wow.
I was in the top 2%.
Wow.
Okay, to get all of them right. Now,
wow.
Here was the question that was asked given the results of that test. The average, okay, was 7 answers right.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. The person that pointed me to that said, that's mainstream American Republicans and conservatives.
What?
Yeah. And believe it or not, they broke it up by Democrats and Republicans, and it wasn't any better on the Republican side, by no stretch of the imagination. His point was, that's where most mainstream Americans and conservatives are. They're not engaged. They're not up on the issues.
Sure not.
We are. We're
yeah.
highly connected. We're
yeah.
very involved.
Yes.
We're very oriented towards what's going on. And we're kind of in our own little echo chamber. Okay. He said, if you're going to deal with the people, and this is kind of how I took your point, if we're going to deal with the people that are out there, we have to get there. They're not where we are. We've got 2 years of heavy involvement into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, effective immediately, I have an open invitation for anybody in the Madison, Wisconsin area that if you're available Thursday at noon, I'm buying lunch. Come.
I saw that. That was a cool idea.
Come. If you're available in Madison, Wisconsin area, you're a conservative, I'll buy lunch, 12 o'clock noon. Come.
Yep. Yep, okay. Yep, yep.
That's what I want to do. I'm going to see if I can get three people to sit down and have lunch. And I want this particular idea, not the finding three people for lunch. Here's what I said. If today Rahm Emanuel got on the news, it's 9:45 at night here.
Yep.
If he came on the news right now and said, this is vitally important. I need $1 million raised for congressional and for governorship contests that are taking place in the next 3 weeks. I need $1 million tomorrow. Tomorrow, he'll have $2 million.
Yep. He sure will. However,
Michael Steele made the same request, he'd be lucky to get $250,000.
You know, okay. Assume that that's true. Joe Wilson, Congressman Joe Wilson, who famously said in President Wee-Wee's address to Congress, you lie, has collected $4.4 million since that time. It is not a matter of who can raise the most money. Actually, yeah, it is a little bit. It's not a matter of who made that request. It's a matter of did a conservative make that request. $4.4 million Congressman Joe Wilson raised. Now, he doesn't need that to run in his district, so he's going to parcel it out. My point is this. Rahm Emanuel can, in fact, double the amount that he asks for. Michael Steele will get a quarter of what he asks for, but an actual conservative, without asking for a dime, can raise $4.4 million. That ought to tell you where the sentiment is and where the money from the conservative side is going to go from and to. If you're conservative, you're going to get the dollars. If you aren't conservative, I don't care how many pleas Michael Steele makes. I don't care how many pleas John Boehner makes. I don't care how many pleas anybody else makes. If you aren't conservative, you aren't getting bucks from conservatives. Period. I know that's true for me. I will not donate to the NRC, the National Republican Congressional Council, or the National Republican Senatorial Council. I will not give to them.
But
I will give to conservatives.
But you have given.
Absolutely. I have given to Marco Rubio. I have given to DeVore. I have given to Hoffman. And if there are some others out there that I don't know about that I ought to be, I need to know about them. I have not given to I have not given to the guy in where is it? West is in Virginia, because he is so far ahead in the polls that you know. I'm figuring, you probably have that taken care of.
I've dropped some coin into this, and as far as I'm concerned, that needs to happen. Conservatives, as a rule, tend to be pretty stingy.
Yep.
And we need to stop.
Absolutely. Dig in, folks. I'm, you know, if you value your point of view, then you need to get your pocketbook in back of it.
You know, it doesn't have to be big bucks.
No, it doesn't. Hell, 25 bucks, 50 bucks.
10. I've given 10. I've given 25. You know, the point is, you know, show the fact that you're willing to put some money into the pot.
That's right. Exactly right. And you know what? There are ways to do that. Red State, redstate.com, has a list of folks that are conservatives. And they give their websites. And you can donate there. I don't remember who it was that started it, but it is a GOP guy that has set up a fund for conservative candidates. You can donate to that. It is not going to go to the Didi Fazavazavazavaz. It is not going to go to the rhinos. It is going to go to those candidates that are, in fact, conservative. Folks, you got to get off the dime. Because, you know, God, I hate it. But you know what? Money is, in fact, the mother's milk of politics. If you don't have money, you can't be out there in advertising. You cannot be out there on television. You cannot do a whole lot of things. So
right.
if you're a conservative and you believe in that, then you need to be supporting monetarily those people that are conservatives.
Got to be done. Got to do it.
Have to.
Got to step to it. All right. We've only got about 8 minutes, and there's some things
okay.
that I want to cover.
Cool. Let's do it.
Part of this is the hyperbole that tends to be used. The first part of December, there's going to be the new climate.
Oh, yeah, the Copenhagen thing.
Copenhagen Climate Consortium
yep.
Agreement Treaty.
Treaty.
Anyways, this is Kyoto 2 on steroids.
Oh, yeah.
And it allows for this organization, this consortium that is created by this treaty, to actually impose fines upon countries that don't adhere to the guidelines that are established in the treaty.
Yep.
And Obama has already signaled he's signing it.
Yep. But he's got to get 66 votes in the Senate to ratify it.
And this is, I've been saying, we're giving away our sovereignty. And I'm like,
oh, yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
One, okay, a treaty doesn't do anything.
Nope.
A treaty is a piece of paper signed by a whole bunch of muckety mucks. Okay.
Yep.
Now, if it's ratified, that's an entirely different story.
Yep.
And Bill Clinton and Al Gore were really happy to sign the Kyoto Accords.
Yep. And Bill Clinton never submitted it to Congress.
Never even tried. Never even tried. And
yep.
I consider that this Copenhagen thing will suffer exactly the same fate. However,
I think so. Yeah.
However, if, in fact, he should submit it to the Senate, I can pretty much guarantee that he's not got 66 votes.
I'd be real surprised that he even has 60.
I doubt, has 50 votes. Because
maybe.
Nobody in their right mind is going to submit the United States to some world government's penalty phase. Not especially when the only country that's even close to actually meeting the Kyoto protocols is us.
That's right.
we didn't sign it, but we're the only ones that are even close to being able to make it.
That's
okay.
right.
So, you know,
folks, if you haven't read that thing, you ought to do that. I mean, what it talks about is environmental justice. It talks about historical carbon debt. This is like a really bad thing.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Because, of course, every single moment that you take a breath, you're polluting the planet.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
What was it? Somebody said that the only way that we could meet the guidelines in the Copenhagen thing was if the United States simply stopped.
Yep. Exactly.
Stop.
Yep.
No coal burning. No
turn
natural
turn off
gas
every
burning.
Coal-generated plant. Coal
no cars
jet.
Moving.
Nope,
no
nothing.
Vehicles moving. No
yep.
electricity generated.
No manufacturing.
And by the way, stop breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they want to do about the cows. They probably want to slaughter the cows.
Actually, the last I heard, there was like a $50 a head tax a year.
Okay.
So, you know, something.
I'm tired of the hyperbole being just used. You know, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's plenty of other ways of simply saying, you know, Copenhagen is full of shit. Nobody
yes,
in the right
is.
Mind is going to approve this thing. You know,
nope.
Don't worry about it. You know, yes, fight it on the principle that it's that we're not going to give up our sovereignty. You know, give to any world organization the ability to come in and tax us, to actually have monetary penalties against us for doing
yep.
something. Sorry,
exactly.
It's not going to happen. Okay?
No.
So we can argue it on those particular points and in. Okay, stop. We don't need to do that stuff. It's driving me crazy. And on a similar vein.
Yeah.
I have unsubscribed from Little Green Footballs.
Have you really? Cool.
You know what? It's all racists all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They have, that site has just gone nuts. Now, if you use the word black, you're racist.
Mm.
You know, it's just gotten to the point where everything in there is, you know, look at the horrible racist right-wingers. And I'm sitting there like going, have you paid any attention to what's going on the left? I'm
really?
Not suggesting to you that we're happy about, you know, right-wingers going nuts about things. But, you know, give me a break. I mean,
oh,
they're
yeah.
talking about murder, and you're worrying about someone calling somebody names.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've just gone off on the Rush thing. They have just gone off on the Rush.
Yeah,
and
I haven't read Charles in God a couple of years now, but I keep seeing references to him and Eric Erickson of Red State.
It's just gotten to the point where, you know, there's nothing else there.
Mm,
there's
mm-hmm.
nothing else there, and of course they are so rabidly anti-Palin. It's just.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I finally decided that you know I cannot give them the better part of the doubt. It's just not
yep.
worth it anymore. I'm deleting virtually everything that I see from them without even reading it because I'm just not interested in dealing with it.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, I'm a big fan of this idea of guilt by association.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have a problem with Obama with that. But I'm trying to think about all the people that I've dealt with over the last couple of years. You know, there are some people that I have not disavowed. I just, you know, I just walk away as not worth my time and effort. But I haven't
exactly.
disavowed them, you know. And so is somebody going to call me racist because I haven't disavowed them?
Exactly. There are some people that you can pay attention to, and there are others that you say, oh, gosh, gee, isn't that an interesting viewpoint? I think I'm just not going to read you anymore.
Yeah. I'm at the point where it's just not worth my time and effort. I've got too
yep.
much of the other stuff going on.
Exactly.
I'm just not willing to do it anymore.
There aren't enough hours in the day.
Right, and I think that's the approach that we need to get to is that we should be paying attention to that.
Exactly.
All right.
Oops.
No, go ahead.
No, I just
seconds.
Hear the music.
Hear the music.
Hear there
the music.
Is. There's Here's the
shout
music. All righty. Shout outs. Trav isn't with us. He's out looking at graveyards and stuff. I don't know. I'm hoping that Patsef tuned in, and Just Me, Pammy, if you did tune in, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bill, have a good week.
You too, Tracy.
Talk to you all after lunch on Thursday.
Hey, there you go. I'm waiting to hear that one.
We're off. All right, into the green room.
Cool.
We didn't get to economics today.
No, we didn't. And man, I will tell you, I'm just, Lord, I'm worried. Let me tell you, I'm worried. If I could figure out a way how to get my IRA into gold, I'd do it. But you can't.
Well, I'm sitting here kind of going, you know what really got us, in the second quarter. It wasn't as bad as we thought because of the inflator.
Ah, okay.
Okay, the inflator was up about half a percentage point.
Okay.
Okay, so that was the only thing that really made it a relatively decent number. I'm sitting here, and what do they say? Oh, producer price index down 7/10.
Yeah.
Wholesale's down almost. Was it a full point or a half a point? And no cost of living raise for Social Security next year, which means that I'm thinking that the deflator for the third quarter is going to be zero or negative.
Ow.
Now, if it's negative, even of a tenth of a point, that'll take a 2 or 3 tenths of a percent positive GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And kick it negative.
Yep.
All right. So.
Wow.
Today is what? Today is the 20th.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you say that comes out?
The 29th.
29th. Okay.
My friend Tom, who's in Ohio, that does all of the tax receipts evaluations. He tracks how the Treasury reports tax receipts.
Yeah.
They usually do the end of the month about the 12th of the month.
Okay.
As of Friday, they hadn't been released yet for September.
Really?
Whoa. I haven't heard or seen that he's gotten those numbers yet. But the numbers that they were showing were down 18, 19, 20% for the year, and that September looked like it was going to be significantly worse.
Mm.
And that just goes in with my comment about, and that's where I'm getting my argument that, states are reporting tax receipts down 7 to 15% so far over July and August.
Mm.
Well, if state receipts are down 7 to 15%, their initial reading on retail sales that was up a half percent, I'm sitting like going, wow, where?
Yeah, can't happen.
Right. If we've got, I think the total so far was 38 states are down 5% or more, where the hell is this increase coming up? I understand Goldman Sachs, may actually rule the world, but I don't think they can spend for the world at this point. I don't think those bonuses have actually been paid yet. So where's this percentage coming up? Now, you and I have already said that, in fact, we think that if the number is really, really bad, they're going to manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it's really, really bad, they can't. I think if it's only a little bit bad, they probably could get away with it. But if it's really, really bad, I don't think they can do so.
Well, yeah, they can. I mean, even if you say, okay, there's a 5% drop in tax receipts, if that is a marker for income, and if the economy is 70% driven by consumer spending, you're looking at a 3.5% drop in GDP, absent any other numbers.
Actually, about 2.3, but yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at a large percentage drop.
Exactly.
And I don't, you know, if it is down 2 or 3%, I don't think they can hide it. If they're down a 0.5%, I think they can hide it.
Yeah, they could hide a 0.5%. They could do that. Anything over about 1.2 or so, I'm not real confident that they've got a way to hide that. I mean, there's way too many ways to check it.
Right. And numbers are going to be inconsistent. Like, you know, I had somebody, you know, they're reporting a monthly income of, like, you know, $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So far this year.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be, you know, $10,000 so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they reported in another place that they've earned $31,000 this year. And I'm sitting there like going, okay, January, February either had to be really, really good months or that $1,000 a month is a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the problem. You're right. There are too many other places where cross numbers can be checked.
Yep.
You know, if somebody says, you know, inventory production has gone up by 8% and we look at manufacturing hours down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you know, you're going to be sitting there kind of going like, oh, what were they doing? You know, who's working's not getting paid?
Exactly.
We know a lot of people are not getting paid for not working, but, you know, you're suggesting that people are working and not getting paid at all.
Exactly.
Okay. So,
yeah, not going to happen.
So, you and I are going to have another show before this number comes off.
Yeah, we are.
And, you know, the question will be over the next week, this week and early next week, you know, what's, you know, are they trying to spin this before it comes out? Are they trying to hide things? Are they trying to, you know, do things? You know, what are they doing? And I'm paying attention to it. Housing starts fully expected. The season has changed. Numbers are beginning to go down. There's no unexpected numbers there going, changing. Of course, everybody's going, oh, maybe it's just 1 month. No.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're going into fall. You know, nobody's going to be building houses in December and January, especially given the fact that the snow is already flying.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jesus. Record cold.
Yesterday.
Al Gore must be jetting around every place because there's just record colds all over the place.
Yesterday, we had our first day in October above normal.
Really?
We've been
10 to 15
degrees below normal all month. And you know what? I didn't go.
You didn't?
No.
Oh,
I really should have.
Crazy.
It probably was my last chance this year.
It probably was. I mean, God, global warming isn't going to help you with your golf game.
So I probably didn't. And part of the reason why I didn't go was CJ has swine flu.
Yeah, Jesus, you know. Oh, God, that poor gal. Is she okay? I mean, she's getting through it and all that?
Yeah, she's fine. She's got the aches and the pains, and she's running the high temps, but otherwise everything seems to be okay.
Okay, because, I mean, what I'm hearing is swine flu hits younger people a whole lot harder than older people.
Yeah.
I
just want to make sure that I don't get it or Victoria doesn't get it, but it looks like it's going to pass through fairly calmly and quietly. Let's hope that is true.
Okay.
I will know by late tomorrow.
Okay. Good. Good.
So it looks like, you know, and where it looks like she's got 22 of her classmates are out.
Ow.
She was on Facebook this morning when she got up. We took the temperature and it was 103.
Ouch.
And I said I had already called the school and said she wasn't going to be in school today.
Yeah.
And she came out with her computer and she showed me her Facebook page and, you know, entry after entry after entry. I'm home, I'm sick, I'm home, I'm sick. Feel like shit, I'm not going anywhere today, I'm home, I'm sick.
Yeah.
You know, so they were all at the homecoming dance on Saturday.
Ah,
Yeah. It was a whole lot of fun, but at one point it was so sweaty and hot and everybody was so close together, nobody had to worry about falling over.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I remember 1957, I was coming down with the Hong Kong flu, which was the big thing back then. I went to a Halloween party, and I was out for a week after that. I was sick. Let me tell you, God, I was sick. Lord,
I had one of those. 7th grade or 8th grade, so right around, you know, that would have been late '60s, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, got a good case of the flu, missed school for a couple days, you know, and was mostly recovered. I wanted to go back to school.
Yep.
And I did gymnastics after school at
the local
park field house, which was about 3 blocks past school, away from home.
Mm.
Now, school was about seven or eight blocks away, so it was just about a mile away. So I was actually going about a mile and a half away from the home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around this time of year. It was late October, early November. And went to school, wasn't feeling great, but went to gymnastics anyways and worked my way through it. And, of course, came out of gymnastics all sweaty and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I didn't wear my coat all the way home.
Oh, God. Yeah, good job. Okay.
I walked in the house with about 104 fever.
Yeah.
And the next day it broached 105.
Yeah.
And when it got to 105.8, my parents threw me in the shower.
Uh-huh. Good. Yeah.
You know, ice cold.
I got up to 105, but they didn't throw me in the shower. I was grateful.
Threw me in the shower, broke the fever. I was out for another 3 days.
Oh yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. This is why it comes up. After that fever, my normal temperature is in the mid 95s.
Wow.
After that. For me, normal is like 95.6, 95.4, 95.5, right in that area.
Wow. That's amazing.
So it reset my
sure
entire
did.
Body temperature.
Sure did. Lord.
I
guess I'm just so damn normal. I just, you know, I'm 98.6. That's what I am.
98.6 for me means that I'm running a moderate, low-grade fever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, somebody, I had one doctor take my temperature when I had really bad infection 3 years ago, and I went to the doctor and said, oh, this isn't bad, it's only 101.
Oh, God.
I'm cooking!
Yes, indeed.
So I said, you know, my normal temperature is 95.5, 95.6. I said, we're talking about, you know, 5 degrees above. I said, you know, you would be normally dealing with somebody approaching 104 fever.
Yeah.
You know, for me, that's what you're dealing with here. And she goes, well, I guess that would be bad.
Yeah. Oh, gee, that might be bad.
You know,
God.
But normally for me, you know, for me, when I run a low-grade fever, I just pile on the clothes, get under the blankets, and cook myself.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely cook myself. And,
yeah, absolutely.
It'll virtually burn out anything.
Yeah.
Because if you can, because if it can tolerate me at 95.6, okay, 101, 102, which I know my body can tolerate, it's just not real happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, means that, you know, I'm effectively hitting it with 105, 106 degree fever.
Oh yeah.
It just doesn't have a chance.
Yeah.
You know, under those circumstances.
Yeah.
And as long as I make sure that I'm well hydrated, I'm okay.
Exactly. And that's the big.
Because I can dehydrate really, really fast at night. Something I pay attention to. In any case, so global warming.
Yeah, right. Jesus. God.
You know, if anybody, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, of course, 2 summers ago, people were saying, you know, these extra hot summers are, you know, indicative of, you know, global warming.
Right.
And, of course, now we have a summer with no summers. And then,
right.
Well, of course, that's global warming, too, because, you know, some places will have, you know, warmer weather. Some places will have colder weather. And I'm sitting there, like, going, but if we were going to be one of those places that had hotter weather last year,
mm-hmm.
odds are we would be having hotter weather this year, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're the same place, so if we're one of the places that are going to be dealing with abnormally high temperatures, it's not going to change from year to year. It's going to be a shift.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, and that's the other thing with Little Green Footballs. They are just so into global warming.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they are. They're like,
wow.
You know, every single time somebody even raises the moderate, you know, even a halfway, you know, argument against it, they're like all over. Are you one of those deniers?
Oh,
you know,
Jesus. Like, oh, God.
But we understand here that this is not just Palin bashing. We understand
yeah.
that this is just not a racist thing. This is somebody that's just gone off the deep fucking end.
Deep damn end.
You know,
oh, God.
You know, across the board gone off.
You know, and that's really too bad. Doggone it. I just, I'm...
You know, I have the question about what it is. Is it a power issue? I mean, you know, because frankly, you know, if my winning, you know, $10 or $20 million on the lottery
mm-hmm.
is going to turn me into one of the, you know, pod people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's assume. You know, but it appears to me that, in fact, that's what's happening is that the pod people have taken over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to be one.
No.
I
me
don't
want
to grow up and
yeah.
be a pod kid.
I think that there are varying things that get people into that. You know, some of it is a true believer religious kind of a thing, and others of it is, oh, here's a lever to power, and others of it is, well, gosh, I want to be responsible, and you know, if there's a possibility that could happen, gosh, we really ought to do something about that. You know, and it just seems to me that there is a complete lack of critical thinking skills that occurs there. You know, whether it's a religious belief or whether it's a power belief or whether it's an abundance of caution. I mean, you know, it is possible that I could win the Super Lotto. It isn't real probable, but it's possible. And I think that people don't make that distinction between possible and probable.
Well, you know, somebody made the comment, I read it either today. Let's assume for a second that the global warming threat is real.
Okay.
That not only is the global warming threat real, all of the worst case scenarios that people are saying could happen because
mm-hmm.
of global warming,
mm-hmm.
in fact, are going to happen.
Okay.
Is the appropriate response in that regard to increase taxes?
No, but that's from a rational point of view.
You know, we're all going to die. It's
yeah,
going to be
right.
terrible.
Yeah.
Let's raise taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. There's a surefire cure.
and I kind of went, well, yeah. Yeah. That's rather interesting. Okay.
Yeah. You betcha.
I
mean, let's not ever consider the fact that, oh gosh, let me see. All right. $1 billion to the person who comes up with a solution for this. the practical solution that actually lowers the temperature of the Earth. Nah, let's not even think about that. Nah.
Yeah, let's have an X Prize, you know.
There you go.
We have 50 days to save the Earth.
Oh, God.
That
was Brown over there in England. Jesus.
We have 50 days to save the Earth. 50 days to save the Earth. We're screwed.
Yeah, hell, just go put your head in the sand and kiss your ass goodbye.
Right. And let me tell you, if it's 50 days. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
We got a phone call today.
Oh, did we?
Extremely irate mortgage company.
Oh, yeah?
They just, you know, it's not unusual for us to use a little bit of our grace period as a normal course of events.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, you know, the way our income is structured, you know, we don't get a big chunk of our monthly income until the 10th or 11th of the month.
Okay.
So we simply, you know, pay the mortgage once that comes in, which means it's the 12th or the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, usually come around the 12th or the 13th, the mortgage company calls and says, hey, you know, you're late. And we're like,
mm-hmm.
No, we're not. you know, we might be late, but don't worry about it. We're going to get it in before we have to pay because it's late. And it's not unusual for us to pay around the, you know, 13th, 14th, 15th, right in that general area. It happens,
mm-hmm.
like, very consistent. And normally we get somebody call from Delhi, from India, you know, wanting to talk to us about the mortgage around the 12th or the 13th.
India.
Yeah, we pretty much ignore it.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Victoria Kendall.
Yeah.
Nash is calling. Did they need Matt Bank? I'm like, okay. Yeah, she's not available.
Yeah.
Today.
Please put somebody on the line that English is not their second language, please. Yeah.
Today,
yeah.
We got a phone call from a bona fide English speaker.
Ooh.
Who appeared to be talking from the office next door.
Uh-huh.
Want to talk to you about your mortgage payment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We have not made it, because as I suggested to everybody,
we may not make it.
If the shit hits the fan, you know, there's certainly no point to do so.
That's right.
And, you know, up until October 30th, I can make it, and it's only going to cost me $115.
There you go.
That's what it's going to cost me, $115.
Yep.
For this little pause. And Victoria over the weekend said, you know, I'm feeling guilty. I'm like, about what? She goes, about the mortgage. I'm going, why? She goes, well, I said, is anything that we've talked about changed? Well, no. I said, okay. I don't feel guilty about it at all. So, but IndyMac Bank has gone just berserk.
Oh, boy.
Because we're one of those people that have been paying just fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, are they a little nervous?
They might be getting a tad nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you know, I'm not. Money still sits in the bank.
Yep.
If things change, you know, it can be paid at a moment's notice.
Yep.
But I'm thinking 9 days from now.
Mm.
You know.
Yep. Yep. And you know, and the really nice thing about that is, you've got a 30-day time horizon for each one of those decisions.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
And unfortunately, no. IndyMac Bank doesn't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Yeah, you know, it's just. For me, it's one of those things where, we have to approach it from a business point of view. Have to.
Absolutely.
And at this point, that's what we're doing.
You know, the thing that really makes the most sense to me is the fact that. folks aren't really thinking about this in terms of rational economic decisions.
Right.
Now, there are some that are making rational economic decisions, but there's no concerted actions. And the thing that I'm seeing most, that I'm seeing a pickup on in terms of rational economic decisions, is I see more and more comments on Twitter that says, you know, maybe a rational economic decision is that we don't pay our taxes. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, if that takes off, people are going to be in a whole world of, the government is going to be in a whole world of hurt.
Well,
and
right
I'm
now.
Thinking, good.
Well, right now, for the average person,
yeah,
gets a refund back.
Hmm. Yeah.
They could switch their withholding on their taxes to virtually
yes.
no withholding.
Yep.
And be okay, starting
yes.
right now.
Yes.
And let me tell you, the government would feel that in a heartbeat.
Oh, big time. Big time.
That kind of drop off, if it was a large enough group started doing that, that kind of drop off would be spectacular.
Yep.
So right this very moment, we have enough money in escrow with our mortgage payment to take care of our taxes and our insurance.
Cool.
Because our escrow requires a 2-month buffer.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're actually covered. We it might actually be short one. Which isn't that big of a deal. Like I said, the money's in the bank, so if it needs to happen, it needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if the economy, you know, takes a quick dip, I think everybody's hoping that everything is going to be fine, and so they're anticipating, you know, let's get to Thanksgiving. I think a lot of people might be holding off. They might be sitting there kind of going, you know, building up a little bit of a reserve going into the holidays.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
You know, I think we might be seeing at this point a little bit of withholding on spending that could actually be occurring because people
mm-hmm.
are anticipating the holidays and wanting to make sure the holidays are good.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
But I think that if the economy takes what you and I have already agreed is a most likely, you know, serious little dip, that I think people are going to decide that it's going to be a much smaller Christmas than they expected.
Oh yeah, yep. I've seen a couple of comments that indicate that December is going to be down about 2.5%, and if that's true. And you know, these were just bare comments, so they were not providing any statistics, they weren't providing any data, but if their judgment is correct, we're going to have a negative Christmas, which means that retail sales in general are going to be in the red. Because Black Friday isn't going to happen. And if that's true, man, look out.
You and I are both in agreement. You know,
yeah.
there's no reason in the world for the economy to go up at this point.
Nope. There's nothing driving that.
and there's every reason in the world why the economy should be going down.
Yep.
And, you know, I can't imagine that things are going to improve. You know, I'm willing, over the past week, I'm willing to concede the possibility is that things have turned and we are on an uptick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to concede that. But, of course, as soon as, you know, Bernanke gets the idea that, in fact, we are, you know, he needs to turn on the brakes.
Oh, yeah. Has to.
You know, because $1.6 trillion worth of reserves are going to start flooding into the market, and it has to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's no place for it to go except for price rising.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a tough one. I'm, you know, it's just, I mean, at some point in time, foreign countries are going to quit buying our debt. And I don't care how you try to dress this up. The only thing that is keeping the U.S. afloat is the willingness of foreign nations to buy our debt. All right, we can buy our debt all we want. That doesn't do anything other than inflate the money supply.
You know, somebody said something, and I didn't think of it this way, but it's relatively true. What's happening right now is the Fed is monetizing the debt.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Where is the Fed getting the money to do that?
Yeah, right.
Okay. The Fed is getting the money from the Treasury to monetize the debt that the Treasury is generating by printing more money.
Yep.
Isn't that a check-kiting scheme?
You know, when I was in banking, yeah, that's exactly what we call that. It was like, okay, fine, folks.
But what's the net result? I mean, I understand the net result is to maintain a certain account balance, but at this particular point, there's nobody in the world that wants to maintain, you know, a $1.6, $1.7, $1.8 trillion currency reserve.
Exactly.
You know, there's zero reason for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless somebody thinks that for some particular reason they're going to need $1.6, $1.7, $1.8 trillion in cash reserves really, really, really fast.
Yeah.
If you have that kind of drop, could you imagine our banking system on, you know, they couldn't do it. I was just going to suggest, you know, on the middle of January where they say that, you know, they're going to report $1.2 trillion in losses. They couldn't do it.
No.
I mean, it's not because they couldn't report $1.2 trillion in losses, but they certainly could. They couldn't keep it hidden that long.
No. No.
Those kind of losses would just be so obvious everywhere that things would be just, the floor would be falling out. Dollar would crash.
Yes.
Dollar would absolutely crash.
Yep.
You know, okay. I have often wondered, we talked about this, what would have been the headlines on September 12th if September 11th never happened?
Jobless recovery.
Okay. Now, think about it this way. When you woke up in 1960, well, let me rephrase that. If you were taken out of time in 1960, and dumped into 2009, you'd still be able to recognize most things, and you'd probably still be able to function relatively well in society.
Yes.
You would be confused by things like, you know, 400 channels and iPods and cell phones.
Yep.
But society would be, relatively speaking, quite recognizable to you.
Pretty much the same.
Okay. Now, my question is, in any one given 50-year period in our history, okay, that would be true. If you take somebody from 1,050 and transplanted them to 1,100, they wouldn't notice any really significant change.
That's true, yeah.
Okay. They would probably see less change over that 50-year span than we have seen in this 50-year span.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it would be recognizable to them. So my question is, the last year and a half, okay, we have been riding a killer wave. We've been riding that surfboard through an absolutely killer wave.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody that has only done a very small amount of surfing, no killer wave lasts forever.
Nope. It crashes.
I'm sitting here thinking, how long can this go on?
Well, not
now,
infinitely.
I've had this thought before. At several times in my life as an adult, I've had the thought, how much longer can this go on? And the answer has generally been a lot longer than I think. Because the issue is momentum. Okay. If the world came crashing down tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
financial world came crashing down tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
how much would that affect your actual day tomorrow?
Nothing. Zero. Zip.
Okay. It would have almost no impact on my day tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay. It will affect me because I'm a little bit more actively involved in the economy than you are. You're able to sit back in your casual retired stock.
Well, actually, I was more thinking of just the basics of... A dry place to sleep, food, and I, you know, folks, if you live in North America, you got to work to starve. I'm sorry, you just do. If you got any smarts at all, you have to work to starve. Because I can tell you right now, this whole economy could go to hell, and would it affect my standard of living? Yeah, I wouldn't be able to watch Fox News and all that kind of stuff. But I sure wouldn't be hungry. I'd sure still have a dry place to sleep. What the hell more do you need?
Well, you know, my right. I don't have quite the freedom that you do in those regards.
Yep.
Because of all the circumstances that are associated with it, but
sure,
the momentum of the vast majority of Americans would not change with the substantial financial crash.
That's right.
Which is why
the damn bailout was such a farce.
Right.
Yeah.
We will be able to continue to have certain momentum. However, I'd certainly want to have more cash in my hand, given that situation.
Sure.
That's why I think, first of all, we can't keep tolerating $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 worth of debt per person.
We sure can't. There is no way that can happen.
We can't tolerate it at $4,000, $400,000.
Nope.
There's just no viable way to do so. And anybody that thinks we could do so is dreaming because, just just servicing that debt over time, is a problem.
I read a statistic 2 days ago that says 40% of the income tax receipts go to pay the debt, just the interest on our debt today. 40%.
That's ridiculous. I thought it was nuts when it was 15%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just... Folks, you need to relate this to your own personal life. If 40% of your income was going to pay just the interest on your debt...
Interest on the credit cards.
Yeah, interest on your credit cards. What would you do? I mean, you're bankrupt.
Yep.
In which case, call Tracy.
There is a section on our website,
mm-hmm.
on Victoria's website.
Right.
And let me see if I can find it, because it's kind of interesting. The question is, you know, should you be thinking about filing bankruptcy?
Ah.
I have a little calculator.
Uh-huh.
And it says, you know, should you consider who should file bankruptcy?
Okay.
Now, it asks you for just two little things. Enter your total income. So let's enter in somebody's nice little median income, $68,000. That's
okay.
Actually a little bit high national, but that's
yeah.
Okay. And then we're going to take 40% of that. Okay. 48%. Well, let's do it. Let's make it easy. Let's make it $70,000 so that my life is easier. And 40% of that is $28,000. Okay. And then it clicks and it says your unsecured debt is 40% of your annual income. Okay. Our little thing says your ratio is greater than 20 but less than 40. You should consider talking to an attorney, especially if you're having trouble making payments on time.
Ooh, man.
A $28,000 balance on credit cards at 18% would take 485 months to pay off at the minimum payment. 480 months. That's
wow.
40 years.
Man.
Okay.
Wow.
And that's at 40%. And if I just add $100 to that, it would actually kick it over it. You know, unsecured debt is 40.14. Your ratio is greater than 40%. You should really talk to an attorney.
Wow.
Because at that particular point, you really need to talk
mm-hmm.
to, you know, an attorney at that point. Yeah, you're bankrupt at that point.
Yep.
You are.
Yep.
Because you're functionally no longer able to pay, you know, live and pay your bills. And those were numbers that, you know, we came up with those numbers, the 20 and the 40% target numbers, based on our experience in dealing with people, you know, and we see people all the time where the unsecured debt, not the payment, the unsecured debt, total unsecured debt, is 70, 80, 90, 100%. You know,
wow.
Somebody's walking around with $80,000 in credit card debt and $75,000 worth of income. You know, at that particular point, it's just, you know, you're walking dead.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, and there's no good reason for it. $400,000, we can't handle $400,000.
No, we can't.
We can't. You know, we can't even grow out of that unless you absolutely stop. I mean, dead in its tracks right now, today, don't spend a single dollar more than you take in.
Exactly.
Not the level it's at right now. We actually have to come down from the level it's at right now to, you know, to the actual tax receipts that are coming in, which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this. How much have they been saying the deficit is this year? This past year?
$1.42 trillion.
That's not true.
No?
Nope. If you go to the Treasury and ask what the total debt is.
Yeah. Oh, total debt. Not just the debt this year.
That's right. The total debt that we carry.
Oh, total debt is...
11 trillion.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's 11,900 billion.
Oh, man.
And if you go back and look at September 30th, 2008,
yeah,
the number is 10,100 billion.
Oops.
The difference is $1.9 trillion.
Ouch.
Our total debt has gone up $1.9 trillion, not I don't care what they say as far as the deficit is concerned. The debt has gone up $1.9 million. That tells you that they're not saying that we spent almost, you know, 200% more than we took in.
Wow. Jesus.
So, you know, $1.9 trillion is what we added to the debt this past year. That is the more accurate number as far as what we're in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And the expectation is that next year it's going to be worse.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right.
Because we had 6 months worth of, you know, employment, you know, where people were paying taxes and the taxes weren't falling that far behind. April 15th comes around next year, we're not simply going to have this big, you know, $300 billion dumping of cash into the coffers,
nope.
Which is normal for us around April 15th.
Yep, exactly.
No, it's just simply not going to happen.
No, nope, it isn't.
That's one of the reasons why he's looking at the quarterly numbers, because he's expecting it to be about 38% down. 38%.
Man.
Which means, you know,
God,
we could be looking at a 40% reduction in revenues next year with no substantial drop in expenditures.
With substantial increases in expenditures.
Right. So, you know, 1.4, 1.9 could certainly be, you know, we might look upon that longingly going, do you remember when it was only 1.9
trillion?
Yeah, when
it was only 1.9 trillion deficit? Oh, boy. God, don't I wish I was back in the good old days. Jesus.
Right. So, you know, and you know, somebody was saying, you know, when our debt load hits 60 or 70% of GDP, and I'm sitting there like going, I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to let that happen in a non-war environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for all practical purposes, I'm sorry. We are not on a war footing with regards to Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Although, given the current occupant of the White House, those expenditures may come down. I'm thinking he's going to cut and run.
Well, the only ones that are actually in a war footing right now is, you know, our service members that are actually serving.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay? But the militaries are not on war footings.
No.
Our economy is certainly not on a war footing.
No, absolutely not.
So I don't think anybody in their right mind should pay any attention to the fact that, during World War II, the number was, you know, 100%. Well, yeah, during World War II, when we were fighting for our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and everybody in the country was trying to make sure that we were going to win.
Yeah.
You know, I can see spending that kind of money. But
yeah,
when the whole issue is, you know, $20 billion in bonuses to Goldman Sachs and $5 Starbucks coffees, you know, you know, I don't see anybody saying, you know, I'm interested in giving you more debt for that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You I just don't see it. Anyways.
No.
All right, we're going to cut it off here at this point. Good chat in the green room. I've got a petition that needs to be done tonight.
Oh, yep. You got to do that. Got to take care of biz.
Got to take care of biz.
Yep.
Bill, nice chatting with you this evening.
You too, Tracy. Take care.
Yeah.
Try to get some golf in.
Yeah.
All work and no play, you know.
Yeah, except for the next 4 days, it's rain and 50s.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jeez. Okay, kiddo. Have a good one.
Talk to you later.
You too.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Night.